Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. When I was about 15 years old, I attended a summer camp called an adventure camp, which featured a series of challenges, both physical and mental challenges. And the one that I was most worried about was the rock climb. And the fateful day came, and we were standing at the foot of about a 200-foot rock face that we were supposed to climb. And soon enough, it was my turn, and they hooked me into the belaying rope in my harness that I was wearing, and I started climbing up the rock. And for the first 50 feet or so, I was doing really well. I was thinking, well, this isn't that hard. I don't know what I was afraid of. And then I made the mistake of looking down. And realizing how high I really was, I froze. I just kind of dug into that rock and didn't move. And no matter what the people at the top were telling me or the people at the bottom, I was not going to let go of that rock. One of the main things that they kept trying to tell me was, Steve, it's okay. The rope has you. You're safe because of the rope. And I was thinking, you've got to be kidding. I am not going to trust my life to this flimsy-looking rope that they have attached to me. I know what's good for me. I'm just going to stay here. Well, of course, that doesn't work. And eventually, they were able to convince me that I really had no choice. If I wasn't going to keep climbing, I'd have to let go and let the rope hold me. And finally, I was able to do that. Sure enough, the rope held me just as they said, and they were able to lower me down to the ground. Well, I don't know if the Apostle Paul ever climbed rocks, but he certainly knew a lot about letting go of things in his life that he was hanging on to. Indeed, he was hanging on to, if you will, for dear life, because he believed that they were the kinds of things that made him a good and honorable and righteous person before God. And if he wanted to experience an eternal life with God, he better hang on tightly to these things that he had achieved, these things that were true about him. Because these certainly, so he believed, were the things that God was paying attention to, and so he better not let them go. This morning, we return to Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. We're in the third chapter, and I invite you to go there with me. If you're here in the sanctuary, these verses are printed in your bulletin. And those at home, if you have your own Bible, or you can follow along, the verses will be up here on our screens. Now, you'll see in the bulletin that the entire passage is verses 5 through 14, and we'll eventually get to all those verses, but for right now, I just want to read verses 5 through 7, again, of Philippians chapter 3. And this is what Paul says. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if ever there was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. I once thought that all these things were valuable. I thought that these were the things that were going to make me right with God. But now, Paul says, I have come to realize something critical. The only thing that can make me right with God is Jesus Christ. I used to think that it was my work, but now I know that it is completely Christ's work. It's not me doing a little work and Christ doing a little work and we get it all together and that's good enough for God. No, it's only Christ's work. And indeed, the more that I rely upon my own work, the harder it is for me to trust in Jesus Christ. I need to start letting those things go, he says. And in these two verses, verses 5 and 6, we see some of the things that were really important to Paul in his life. Some of those things that he'd relied upon. He talks about his ancestry. You know, he says, I can trace my lineage through my parents, grandparents, my family, all the way back to the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a member of one of those 12 original tribes. I was circumcised by my parents on the eighth day. They were good Jews, and so am I. I can place my confidence in my heritage, Paul says. And I can place my confidence in how well I have obeyed the law of God. In fact, I became a member of the sect called the Pharisees. And the things that we specialized in was not only knowing all the rules that are in God's holy book, but obeying all those rules. And not only that, but I also showed myself as being zealous for the sake of God. I wasn't just kind of, you know, studying the Bible behind closed doors and being a good person. I was out there in society. I was out there doing the things that I thought God wanted me to do. And those things included persecuting that group of people that we called the Christians, because I truly believed that they were blaspheming against God, that they're talking about this criminal man named Jesus who had been killed by the Romans on the cross was blasphemy. He claimed to be God. He claimed to be the Messiah. Clearly that was against God, and I'm not just going to speak against it. I'm going to do something about it. I was zealous for God. And when it came to who I was morally, well, I was faultless. People would have had a really hard time finding fault with me in terms of the kind of moral and ethical person that I was before God. Paul says, these are some of the things that I put my confidence in. These are some of the things that I look to and said, this is what defines me as a person. This is what is really important to me. These are the things that I live for. These are the things that give me purpose in life, that make me valuable within my society, and they make me valuable to God. But now something has happened, Paul says. And what happened to him on the road to Damascus. We read this in Acts chapter 5. Paul has left Jerusalem in order to go north to the city of Damascus, where he was going to try to seek out those who were part of this group called the Christians, in order to persecute them, in order to jail them, in order to get them to stop talking about Jesus. That's who he was when he left. But by the time he got to the city of Damascus, he had had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ himself. The man that he said was corrupting and perverting the minds of his fellow Jews was a man who came to Jesus, who came to Paul. And the voice comes from heaven and says, Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? And Paul learned that Jesus Christ was real. And as he came to learn more about Jesus, and as he was being taught by the followers of Jesus, he came to realize that the only way that his life would have ultimate worth and ultimate value, the only way that he could be right in his relationship with his heavenly Father was through this one, Jesus Christ. And so he needed to set aside, he needed to put aside his confidence in all these other things. and elevating all these other things to ultimate kind of achievements and pursuits of his life, and instead pursue a life of obedience to Jesus Christ. Not because obedience makes him worthy, but because obedience reflects what Christ has done for him. He goes on to talk about this, continuing to read from verse 8 through verse 11. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Compared to knowing Christ, compared to experiencing the power of Christ in my life, compared to the experience of living eternally, a resurrected life with my Father, with Jesus Christ, his Son, and with the Holy Spirit. All these other things that I used to think were so important in my life, I really have come to understand that not only aren't they going to accomplish salvation for me, but in and of themselves, they are just worth so little compared to what I have now. You know, it is hard to let go of things that we have spent most of our lives trying to put together about ourselves, especially when we attach to them a very deep value in terms of who we are in our relationships with others and who we are in our relationship with God. And this was the case for Paul as well. He isn't saying it was the easiest thing in the world for me to let go of my ancestry and let go of my obedience and let go of my zealousness and let go of my faultlessness. It was simple. It's like one day to the next of just saying, oh, that doesn't matter. And now all these things matter. No, Paul is not saying that this is just a straightforward thing. Those things are so deeply ingrained in us that really almost without thinking, we keep going back to them. We hang on to them because we have come to believe that these are the things that will keep us safe. These are the things that will lift us up in the regards of other people. These are the things that will make us righteous before God. No, they're not easy to let go of, but Paul is saying, but let me help you with letting go of them. See, one of the things that's hard about letting go of the old things is that we have this wrong notion that the old things are really better than the new things that God wants for us. You know, letting go of the old life means letting go of some really good stuff, and the new life, well, there's not really much there. I mean, one day I get to go to heaven, and that's really important, but right now, well, you know, those old things, they still look pretty appealing. What Paul is saying, no, really think about what the new things are that you have in Christ. It's not just that you are now saved, but you now get to experience some things that you would never be able to experience if you're still holding on to that old stuff, if you're still clinging to the side of the rock wall. And he mentions three in particular here. He said, compared to knowing Christ, all that old stuff I consider worthless. He said, do you know what you get if you're willing to let go and if you're willing to take a hold of Jesus Christ by faith? You get to know him. You get to have him be someone who is personal to you. That as you learn about him, as you read about him in Scripture, as people share their relationship that they have with Him, with you, you begin to develop that relationship with yourself. The Lord of the universe is now your brother in Christ. You can get to know Him, Jesus Christ, the one who desires to know you as well. He says, compared to those old things, this is really amazing. And so letting go of those old things is not just letting go of something and then entering into some kind of emptiness or something that is much less. He says, I am getting to know Christ. And that's amazing. He says, I'm getting to experience the power of Christ. You know, I thought that that old way of living was a really powerful way to live. And within Jewish society, Paul would have been considered a pretty powerful, pretty important, pretty accomplished person. When he went from Jerusalem to Damascus, he went with orders from the chief priests. The chief priest himself, the most important religious leader in all of Israel, had given letters of introduction to Paul. Now, he was still a young man, but the head guy thought a lot of Paul and trusted Paul to do the work that the priests wanted him to do. So Paul said, I had a lot going for me. I was a pretty powerful person, but that's nothing compared to the power of Jesus Christ who is living within me through the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the Holy Spirit can do? What He has been doing and is doing in my life and what He will continue to do? What I thought used to be a meaningful life is nothing compared to the meaning that I'm experiencing now. And the Holy Spirit who is teaching me and guiding me and empowering me and gifting me to do the things that God is calling me to do. And no longer am I serving Paul and what is best for Paul. I now look to God and God says, you can serve me and you can do what is best for me. Which is what Paul had always wanted. He was just misguided in how he was doing it. Now I can really do it, he says, because I have the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Compared with the old life, well, there is no comparison. I consider that here, he says, I consider that like it's garbage. It's just worth just throwing in the trash compared to the amazing things that I have now. To know Christ, to experience His power, and thirdly, to experience His resurrection. To know that I'll be raised from the dead, but even to recognize that because I will be raised from the dead, I can live this life in a totally different way. I can live without fear. I can live without worrying that I am being a good enough person. That the things that I'm doing, all this ancestry and obedience and moral uprightness and everything, that it's enough. What if I have a bad day? You know, what if I mess up? What if I don't obey one of the laws perfectly? Does that mean I've had it? There's a lot of uncertainty hanging on to your own stuff, because what if your own stuff isn't very good on a particular day? Or over a period of time, you're not doing as well as you used to. Besides, who's going to decide what's good enough? But see, Paul says, I don't have to deal with that anymore because I live in the resurrection. By that, of course, he doesn't mean that he's been resurrected. He's still living in this life. What he means is that the assurance of the resurrection is his already. I know where I'm going. I know whom I have believed, and he is able to keep safe what I have entrusted to him until that day. Because of that, I live now a life not fearing that I'm doing enough, not worrying that today I wasn't as good as I was yesterday, but instead having confidence that with God's help, he will continue moving forward as we're about to read. And when he messes up, a God whose son Jesus Christ died on a cross for him in order to forgive him of his sin, all he needs to do is confess. Not work harder, not be better, but confess his sin and it will be forgiven. I live in the power of the resurrection, and compared with how I used to live, wondering if I was doing enough, wondering if I was good enough, wondering if I was measuring up, this is infinitely better way to live my life, he says. And so, yeah, some of the things that we've been hanging on to, we're pretty comfortable with. We've gotten used to them. We think they're a pretty good deal. We are able to do them pretty well. But compared to what God has for us, they really aren't worth much. So don't worry about giving those things up, is what he's saying to the Philippians. Don't think that they're so wonderful that it's going to be so hard to not place your confidence in those things. Because God has this amazing new thing ready for you. And just as Paul had his lists of things, as he enumerates some of them here, so you and I have things in our lives. There are things that have been part of us for so long that we probably don't even think much about them. We just automatically go there to try to work them out, to try to be involved in them. Some of us were brought up in the church, and going to church and being part of a church is something that just comes very naturally to us. But the problem is that we sometimes, without really thinking about it a lot of the time, we place too much confidence in that. We think too much of ourselves. We think that somehow because we are in church and involved in the life of the church, that makes us a good person before God. Or at least better than the person next to us who isn't going to church or isn't involved in the church. And so when God looks at me and looks at him, well, God's going to choose me. I've kind of put my confidence in the church. And that confidence, unfortunately, is not a confidence in God's love, but rather just what it means to be part of church. And when our confidence is there in church, the way in which we view our neighbor who doesn't go to church is probably going to tend to be somewhat condescending. We're probably going to be prideful about our attendance compared to his non-attendance. So how are we going to speak to him? How are we going to treat him? How are we going to engage the neighbor that Jesus says we're supposed to love? You know, non-Christians have a pretty good radar for us Christians when we come around. They really pay close attention. What do you think about me? And you don't have to say it out loud a lot of the times. They feel that sense of I'm better than you because I do the Christian thing and you don't. That's a dangerous place to be. And so Paul says, be careful with those things. Of course, going to church is a good thing. Indeed, Scripture says we're supposed to go to church. But we're not to put any kind of self-confidence and certainly no confidence in terms of God thinking that we're better because we're doing it. No, if we go to church because we love God and we want to know how to love our neighbor better, then we're going for the right reasons and church will be everything good that we want it to be. And there are many other things that can be on our list besides going to church. It could be doing good deeds, being a good person morally or ethically, having what we feel are good biblical or Christian opinions about various things, politics, the environment, social policy, whatever it may be, and somehow feeling that those are what give us the stature that we feel like we have. All of those things are things that can be good, and God can use them if they're dedicated to him and not just dedicated to ourselves and making ourselves feel worthy before each other and society as well as before God. And so it is that Paul is encouraging us through the Holy Spirit as we read this word today that we need to let go of those things. And those things that are good things, letting go doesn't mean that we don't do them anymore. Letting go means that we don't put our confidence in them. And we don't see them as being kind of the foundational definition of who we are and why we're worthy and why we're valuable and why we're loved by God. But all of that comes only through Jesus Christ. Now, the last thing that we're going to look at here in terms of the passage for today, verses 12 through 14, Paul says, now I want to make sure that you don't misunderstand me. I, Paul, am not claiming that somehow I have perfected this idea of letting go and that I'm actually living it in every way in my life. I want to make sure that you don't mistake me. I'm not claiming to have all of this under control. I know what I need to be doing. I know what I've been working on doing. But it's not easy to let go of these things and to completely trust in Jesus Christ. So this is what he says in verses 12 through 14. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. I press on, he says. Yeah, if I look back, I see the places where I failed. I will see the places where I hung on to something too much from my old life at the expense of something that God wanted to do in my new life, in my life with him. I'm not perfect at this. It's difficult to do, but I don't give up. I don't stop seeking to live Christ's way. I forget what lies behind in order to move forward. One of Paul's favorite metaphors for the Christian life is running a race, like a runner on a track. And he says, as we run the race, things are going to happen, good and bad. And when bad things happen, God is there to pick us back up and to help us to keep going. You don't run a race by looking backwards as where you've been. You run a race by looking forward, and ultimately, you're looking to the finish line. And he says, that's how we run the race. We keep moving forward, looking to the finish line, and we don't know where that is in terms of our own personal lives. The finish line is the end of life whenever God determines it to be so. But the prize at the end of the finish line, which is a prize that every Christian will participate in, will be an eternity with this God in whom they place their faith. In this God for whom they've been willing to let go other things, even important things, in order to hold on to his Son, Jesus Christ. This God where we have said, God, for your sake, I will consider what you want for me more important than those things that I want for myself. And I will seek those, because for me to know Christ and to experience his power and to experience the resurrection, those are the things that I want to hold on to. Those are the things that I want defining my life. Those are the things that are worth striving for. And I am so grateful that when I mess up and when I look back too much at the way things used to be and even try to grab on to some of those things, that you hear my confession, that you forgive me, and that you help me to keep on going. Paul had lived this in his own life. He doesn't write Philippians a week or two after his Damascus Road experience. This is many, many years later. Lots of failure, lots of struggle, lots of hardship in his life. But he says, this is what I have learned. This is what I have experienced. And I want to share this with you, my sisters and brothers in Christ in Philippi, because I'm praying for you that this can become true for you as well. I encourage you along this journey. And so, by the Holy Spirit who brings the Word of God to us, so you and I are being encouraged today. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Apostle Paul. And we thank you, Lord, for the honesty that he was willing to share in his writing. Of course, he didn't know at the time that this was going to become scripture and be read by us 2,000 years later. But Lord, it's still impressive that a man like this, writing a personal letter to people for whom he was the spiritual leader, he was the founder of their church, he was their first pastor, he was the person that they were looking up to teach them. And he certainly could have said, look at me and look at all that I am. But he says, look at me and all that I am in terms of who I am now. And all that I am and all that I do is because of Jesus Christ. I used to think that I had made myself, that I was truly worthy because of my ancestry and because of my achievements and because of the way in which I was reaching certain goals within Judaism. But I don't think that way anymore. I don't look to my ministry, says Paul, as somehow being that which makes me worthy, but I look to the one who makes me worthy, in whose behalf I'm involved in ministry. And so, my dear Philippians, I encourage you also to let go of some of those old things, those old habits, those old ways of trying to see yourself as being worth something in the world's eyes, and instead focus on the fact that you are worthy in God's eyes. And it is through faith in Jesus Christ that that worth begins to be lived out in your everyday life. And now you have new things to hang on to. You can really get to know Christ. You can really experience the power of who Christ is in your life through the Holy Spirit. You can be a part of something called the resurrection life that has a future incredible component, but also which impacts us today in everything that we do. No longer do you need to worry about being good enough or living well enough or following the rules accurately enough. But now you are free from those things and free to pursue what is most important, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us your word. May it penetrate our hearts through your Holy Spirit, and may we live it this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.